Hello, everyone. Just a quick word before we get started with this week's episode. We want to tell you that we're putting on a show in conjunction with the Everett Music Initiative up in Everett, Washington, at the Anchor Pub on April 20th. Yeah, that's right, 4/20. Awesome, right? You like how I just left a little space for you to just think about it just for a second? It's going to be a great show. The Young Evils are going to be there, as well as the Learning Team. So come on up, 4/20 at the Anchor Pub in Everett. All right, on with the show. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 140 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden. And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. Yes, welcome to another fantastic edition of the show, folks. Oh boy, it's good to be back. If you can notice, if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you've noticed now that I sound different. Well, let me tell you, I am sick once again, and proud to say so. I'm laying in bed right now. That's right, I'm recording this show from the magic room. From where the magic happens. Yes. In Shea Roden. Oh boy. Yeah. Dining Room Studios is sitting vacant as we speak. It's Bedroom Studios right now. That's for sure, folks. I've been laying in bed. I haven't been sitting. Not a lot of sitting. Not a lot of being upright this weekend. But I have had time to watch all of the first season of House of Cards. Have you guys seen this? Only available on Netflix streaming, I believe. Fantastic show, man. Wow, Kevin Spacey. So good. I'm having to conjure up a lot of energy to do this right now. I hope you guys appreciate that fact. I am really not feeling well. I've got the shakes, I've got the aches, I've got the quivers, and I've got the sore throat. I was going to try to rhyme something with quivers and bring it all home, but it's just not going to work out, folks. If you've noticed, we have done away with the sound drops, or most of them anyway, except for the explosion in the beginning of the show. We got a couple emails, I don't know, a couple months ago, I think, from some listeners to another show here in Seattle that is infinitely more popular than this one. You can take your guess at to what show that might be. They stated that we sound too much like another show, and they were correct. I got the idea from that show. It was TBTL. I got the idea from TBTL to do the sound drops and everything in there. At the time when I first started the show, it was relevant. It was relevant to how I was conducting the program. But it wasn't something that I could really keep up because, as you've noticed, I don't do a lot of research. I don't put together such a polished program as TBTL, but I kept it in there anyways because I thought it was funny. Well, I have come to the realization after those few emails that I got that, the sound drops in the beginning are not relevant to this program any longer, and I'm going to do away with them. Part of the reason is also that I'm extremely lazy when it comes to putting this thing up. So, we're just not going to do it anymore. We're going to keep the explosion, but that's it, people. That's it. Anyway, I digress. Today, this week, on this week's program, we've got a very special show for you guys. We've got two wonderful artists, wonderful people that were here for the Emerald City Comic Con a couple weeks ago. One being Katie Cook, who is in charge of writing and I believe drawing for the My Little Pony comic book. Also, she writes and draws for or she writes and is the artist for LucasArts and works on the Star Wars comic books. Now she's going to be the first interview that we listen to here tonight. She's got some great stuff to say about the upcoming Star Wars movies, and some kind of funny stories, funny quips about what it's like being chief of the bronies. Now, I don't really know what bronies are, right? I mean, I came into this, backtrack. I came into this knowing what bronies were, but that's about it. Bronies, of course, are, I think they're dudes that are really into My Little Pony. Grown dudes that are really into My Little Pony. And I believe she's got some pretty good stories. We were all hanging out, the night prior to Comic-Con starting, and she was telling me some pretty funny things that have happened to her, and some pretty gross things, too, coming from fans. And I'm not going to repeat those, because she didn't go into that when we were recording our chat. So I'm not gonna repeat any of that. But it's a fun conversation. She was a great person. Katie Cook. You can find her on Twitter at KatieCanDraw. And she is fabulous. So we'll get to that in a moment. Also, let's see. We got to go over this thing. 420, April 20th. We've got a show coming up. We're putting on a show, as you heard in the pre-roll, in conjunction with Everett Music Initiative, the good people up north from where I am now. You may live up there. I don't know. We're putting on this show. The Young Evils are going to be headlining. You can hear the Young Evils on this show, on the Air Raid podcast. Maybe 20, 30 episodes back. But go look in our archives and go check out that program. They were a lot of fun to talk to, Troy and Mackenzie. Great people. We're really excited for this show. It is not a live. We've got a couple emails on this, too. John and Claire. This is not a live Air Raid podcast. I repeat, not a live Air Raid podcast. This is just a music show. I'm going to get up. I'm going to say a couple words on behalf of the Air Raid podcast and thank people for coming, maybe introduce a band or two, but that's about it. However, it is cheap. It's $7 in advance or $10 at the door, I believe. So you guys should come up, hang out with us. And have some drinks and listen to some great music at a great venue too. It's at the Anchor Pub in Everett. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope you guys can make it. Also, what else is coming up? Wow. I don't know. Maybe we should just get to it. Shall we? God, I feel so sick. Ugh. And I wish there was more House of Cards to watch right now, because then I could kind of just look forward to that. But all I have to look forward to is going to work tomorrow and being sick. Because I was home earlier this week, like an idiot, I took 2 days off to take care of my sick child. My wife was very busy doing some other stuff. She couldn't take the time to do those things. So I stayed home and got some rest with my kiddo, which was a good thing. I needed it. But now, in the back of my mind, I knew that this was going to turn into another being sick. Because I always get sick somewhere down the road when my kid is sick. And sure enough, this weekend rolls around and I've got the plague again. This is the 7th time this season that I've been sick. It's insane. Are you guys just fed up with me talking about how I get sick all the time yet? I'm sure you are. So let's get to this, shall we? We're going to be featuring music today from the band The Quiet Ones, which are a Seattle... I don't know how long they've been in Seattle, but they're a Tennessee transplant, and they are super, super good. And I think we're going to try to get these guys on the show because they've got a new album coming out, Molt in Moments, I believe it's called, coming out in April 11th, I believe. But yeah, this is super good. It's very kind of Flaming Lips-esque, maybe a little Built to Spill mixed in there. Little bit of very melodic Sonic Youth kind of in there as well. It's right up my alley, man, and I am digging it. This is The Quiet Ones. This song is called Sound of Fog, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with artist and writer Katie Cook of LucasArts and of My Little Pony. My Little Pony. All right. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay with us, everybody.
Star Wars.
I do stuff for Star Wars. Yeah. I do the Harvey losing webcomic Gronk, A Monster Story. And I am the writer of My Little Pony Friendship is
okay,
Magic.
Okay, writer. You're the writer for that one.
I do some of the artwork, like for the backup gags and some of the covers. But I actually think that Andy, who's been my friend for years, when Hasbro thought I was too cute for the project. So too cute? Yeah, too cute. Too cute for ponies.
So, that makes no sense.
So I brought in Andy, and he's doing such an amazing job. It's like I could never live up to that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, So I don't know much. I don't know much about My Little Pony, but what I do know is that people take it very seriously.
Well, it has such a huge adult fan base.
Yeah, yeah. Which boggles my mind.
Well, it's because the new show was developed by Lauren Faust, who did Powerpuff Girls and Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
Yep.
And, you know, she already has a following. And then she made a great all-ages show. I mean, there's a lot of in-jokes and pop culture references for adults so the parents could enjoy it.
Right, right.
But I don't think that they expected that the people without kids would all be like, hey, this show's pretty great.
Those ponies are cute.
Yeah. And and it's been so much fun because I have this adult fan base to appease.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it sucks, but for the most part, it's great.
Can you grace us with a couple of, like, the weirdest stories about like emails that you get and stuff. You don't have to say names or anything like that.
Well, it's I got a really horrific email after issue 2 came out, and and it started with, "I hope you're prepared to die over what you've done to the characters."
Oh my God.
And it was like, "I just got a death threat over ponies.
Yeah.
I'm at Dan Slott level." La di da. I felt really important. But yeah, it's like that. That's like the 1% that take it to that level.
Right, right.
And then yesterday at the show, this guy and I got into it over, there's these three little ponies on the show called the Cutie Mark Crusaders who are trying everything in their power to get their cutie mark, which is the mark on their butt that shows their special talent, and they don't have it. And he's like, "Well, I'm so glad, and I think that by the end of the series or in the comic, you guys should really give them their cutie mark so we know what their special purpose is in life." It's like, no, it's way funnier if they never get it. And I got into like a brawl with him over it because he was like red-faced and shaking and telling me that no, they have to learn their special purpose. And I was like, no, it's funnier if they don't. And finally, it was like I threw down the gauntlet of, hey, I work for the show. I can make sure it never happens.
I'm the writer.
it's like screw you all. But yeah, he was just getting so belligerent about it. And it was a teenager, and it's I felt bad.
People take that stuff super, super seriously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that I have held so dear that is created by somebody else.
Well, it's I was insanely upset when Archie took Veronica to prom.
Were you really?
Because he should have taken Betty. I'm not going to lie. Every dance when he picks Veronica is just boggles my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So I understand where he's coming from. I get it.
They're both cute. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but Veronica's awful.
See, I never read Archie, so all I know is
she's like, the rich, stuck-up, selfish bitch, and Betty is the girl next door who just wants Archie to be happy.
And Veronica's the black-haired one.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's always the black-haired ones that are the bitchy ones.
Don't
right?
trust the dark hair.
Yeah. I guess. Oh, okay. So I was hurt. My feelings were hurt when the new episodes of Star Wars came out.
Oh.
I stuck up for those endlessly until I just couldn't anymore. You know.
That's my husband. He was like, yeah,
was he like that
the
too?
Prequels. Yay, we're getting new Star Wars.
Yeah,
and after a few
years,
he was like, can we just stop pretending that we enjoy Jar Jar?
Right, right.
Just pull it back.
Can you say that even though you work kind of for Lucasfilm?
You know, I can tell them my opinion. I love the fact that there are new Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that there's the Clone Wars. I love the fact that there's always new Star Wars content to bring in fans.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I need to think that the new movies are good.
Right, right.
Because I think that they are something that could have been amazing that is poorly executed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love George. I love you, George. But, you know, bring in a different director. Uh-huh. Someone who can work with actors.
And they're doing that.
Yeah.
Which is super exciting.
J.J. Abrams doing a Star Wars movie.
I know.
Badass.
Yeah. So what can you, I know I asked you this the other night too when we were hanging out, but what can you say about the new movies that
people who love Star Wars will be very happy?
Yes, no insider information. We're not.
You know, it's basically I've been part of some focus groups from Lucasfilm employees saying, what do you think of this? And, you know, from what I've heard, we can be really happy that they're finally going to put out some new, great, exciting Star Wars content.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? People that have been ignoring the Clone Wars TV show are missing good Star Wars content.
Right.
Because the story of Ahsoka and Anakin and Obi-Wan in those years before Anakin turns.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're great. And you watch him get a little bit, you know, pulled back into himself in this show for kids.
Uh-huh.
And I'm even having trouble getting it out of people. And I know people that work on the show because I think the only way that you need to use Ahsoka is she has to die.
Right.
She has to die. And, you know.
She's the one with the big, the double kind of horned head.
Yep. It's Anakin's Padawan.
Okay.
And I think that one of the things that has to push him over the edge is she has to die. And it has to be his fault.
Ah.
And whenever I bring that up, someone there's just like this, oh, really? We can't say anything about that. It's like, oh, come on! So,
Well, that's I'm super excited for it. I'm super excited for these new movies.
It's new Star Wars stuff. Yeah, you can't not want it.
So what can you say about, since you work for, how long have you been with LucasArts?
I've been doing freelance with them for 5+ years.
Yeah. When you got that first gig for them, mm-hmm. were you just freaking out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because you sit there and you're like, I'm doing some official Star Wars stuff. Bucket list. Check.
Yeah.
And then it just continued. And, you know, I write for the StarWars.com blog, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I get to, you know, be part of the Star Wars universe.
That is so cool, man.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Do you get anything that, like, what kind of perks do you get? Do they send you, like, life-size, like, Boba Fett's or what?
Lots of free t-shirts.
Yeah? But no helmets?
The 501st guys have given me a Stormtrooper helmet.
What, really?
Yeah, so I have a real, like, one of their buckets.
Can I tell you one of my bucket lists?
Hmm.
Is to have a full-size, licensed, like, Boba Fett and Darth Vader and Scout Trooper. In a room, I'm going to put them on a mannequin. On mannequins. I'm just going to dress these mannequins mm-hmm. up in the garb and just have them.
See, I want an R2. That's, I want an that, R2-D2.
Okay, me too. Yeah, I'm adding that.
Yeah,
that's
I've
being
always,
added to
I've
the list.
I've always wanted an R2 that just kind of sits in the corner and it's like, yeah. What's up, man?
Yeah, dude, that would be the best. Yeah. Be like, hey, you know, friends, would you like to come over and hang out in my Star Wars area?
And, say,
and they'd say yes, because it's fucking awesome.
And every once in a while, R2 would go, doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, maybe motion sensor or something like that.
Just,
yeah,
I don't need to be all the time.
Right. So I saw a lot. I came and said hi to you at your table today. And you have a lot of people surrounding you at all times.
The past.
Signing.
Yeah, the past couple of years have been kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And it's...
Is that more from Star Wars or is that more from... From the bronies.
Pony stuff's new this year. This is my first convention since the comic came out.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
So a lot of it's just Star Wars mixed with my art, you know, and Gronk is that I'm an indie comics queen. No, it's, but no, it's, you know, I just have my fan base. And I dig them.
Is that a pretty cool feeling?
It's
gotta
weird.
Be kinda nice,
because
right?
I've not a popular person growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I played Magic the Gathering and was on the Quiz Bowl team in high school. So being someone that someone waits in line for is weird.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
But, you know, it's I send pictures, like, to my parents. Like, I'll take a picture when the line's really long and be like, hey, Dad, check this out. And he's like, bullshit. No one's waiting in line for you.
You photoshopped yourself in there. Your dad sounds terrible.
Oh, I love him, but he's just like, no, people don't wait in line to talk to you.
But is it a pretty crazy feeling when, like, I mean, so was the, is this kind of the first time that that's really happened? Like,
no.
Where you're signing a lot and doing that kind of stuff?
San Diego last year, at one point, there was over an hour wait.
Oh, wow.
To talk to me, and it was just one of those, what? You waited how long?
Yeah, yeah.
And you were okay with that? buddy, you got to get your priorities straight because you are, you know, like, harping for disappointment because this is all you get.
Are those the kind of conversations you're having with people?
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry you waited in line for an hour.
Oh, man, that's nonsense. That's
nonsense.
There
are so many better things you could have been doing.
Yeah. You've got fans, man. That's awesome.
It's like, they could have gone to sci-fi speed dating.
Which probably takes place here somewhere in the building. Yeah, it does.
There's sci-fi speed dating here.
Nice. Nice.
If
that's
I wasn't
awesome.
Married, I would totally go to it.
I would totally try it out, too,
like,
myself.
Sup? Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, you know, good-looking people in tight outfits at these things.
Well, it's, considering I think the last time I ever got hit on, I was in a Target, and the guy just complimented my Star Wars messenger bag, and it was like, oh, do go on. Thank you.
You're so flattering.
Tell me more about my bag.
Right, right. So how does the Emerald City Comic Con stack up to the others?
This is
that
an
you've
amazing show. It's a big show. It's got a lot of people, a lot of really dedicated mm-hmm. fans and dedicated artists, and one of the more impressive guest lists that you're gonna find.
Yeah, and still mainly centered around comics.
Yeah.
Too. Which is a good thing.
Yeah,
right?
And it's not media crazy because mm-hmm. even, you know, from my vantage point where you and I are sitting, I see all comics.
Yep.
And it's like comic, 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 comic. Even the bigger booths are all comic vendors and comic companies.
Yeah.
And there's only that one really weird porn manner.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. That's fresh.
So, comics, porn. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. And wall,
yeah. Well, Katie, thank you so much, and congratulations on all your success.
Thank you very
much. It was a pleasure meeting you and getting to hang out with you a little bit. Yeah.
Yep.
I hope we can do it again next year.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. You coming back?
Of course. I need to do my convention horror stories panel.
Yes.
We fill up, like, one of the big halls, and I swear at people for an hour.
That's awesome.
They let me come back and do it.
Wonderful. Well, Katie Cook, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You want to plug what's... where can we find you?
You can find me at katiecandraw.com and gronkcomic.com, which is my weekly webcomic that updates every Friday. And by My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, when it's the Cook Price duo doing it. So.
Awesome. Well, thanks again.
Thank you. Sexy girls in silhouettes, crazy drugs and cigarettes, fucking good girls and
all right, welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that little chat we had with Katie Cook. Go and check her out on the interwebs. She was a fantastic, fantastic lady. Really, really enjoyed that. Obviously, you can hear that we recorded this at Comic-Con. It was when everything kind of was dying down. And it was weird to sit in there when the convention center was kind of empty. It was kind of an eerie feeling, like... you know, things were winding down. It was just kind of us, and we were passing around a little flask of whiskey and just chatting. And man, that's a really big place when there's nobody in there. Let me tell you. Comic-Con's a really great thing. Let me tell you a couple things that I really enjoy about going to Comic-Con. One being seeing all the costumes. I'm a really huge fan of seeing the time and the effort that people put into these things, because some of them are very, very spectacular. And you can go to our Facebook page, the Air Raid Podcast, or I believe it's air-raid.net on Facebook, and check out some of our pictures. We didn't take too many pictures this year. First off, we saw a lot of the same costumes, a lot of the same people. And second, we only went on, like, Saturday evening. Which was different from last year and the year before that, because we would go like all 3 days. But we weren't quite, you know, weren't prepared. Didn't have enough time to make it happen. So we just got to go on Saturday. But you can look at our Facebook page, and in our pictures, there's just tons of pictures of amazing, amazing costumes. And we really urge you guys to go there. Like us on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter. This is totally just turned into a plug. You can find us on Twitter at AirRaidNet. We would really appreciate your patronage there as well. So Comic-Con. So I love the costumes. I also love that, and this is one thing that me and Will, the guy who goes with me every year to take pictures and just pal around, Will. This one thing that he said to me, you know, the great thing about going to this convention is that it's totally packed. It was sold out. I think there was like 67,000 people there for the whole weekend. You're basically just kind of shoulder to shoulder with everybody throughout the day. But if you even bump into somebody, they will turn around and apologize. It's the nicest group of people, the nicest 60,000 people that you will ever bump into, literally. And you know, you don't find that a lot at big venues, big conventions, things like that. And I don't know if I've said that on this program before, but that's a really special thing, guys. And I'm a big Star Wars fan, obviously, because we've been talking about it nonstop for like the past like four episodes of this show with all of our guests. And, you know, I fancy myself as a bit of a nerd. Yeah. So I love Comic-Con. Now the next guy we're going to talk to here, the next person we're going to chat with is Tony Moore. Tony Moore is the co-creator and original artist for the comic book The Walking Dead. There's an interesting backstory on this. We didn't talk too much about, I don't think we talked at all, as a matter of fact, about the show. Because there was some legal stuff that happened with that. Tony was not recognized for being the co-creator for quite some time, and finally is now. I'm not going to go into the backstory on that, and I don't think Tony would like me to, but he was a fantastic dude to talk to. Very, very nice. An amazing artist, like Katie Cook was as well. And it's super impressive to see these guys work at the Comic-Cons. Because what they do is they will sit down, they will get commissioned to draw pictures throughout the day by big spenders. And they can, you know, those commissions can run anywhere from like $300 to maybe $1,000 in some areas. And it's really cool to just, you know, you have the chance to kind of walk through these artist areas where these well-known artists are and watch them draw and watch their process. And it's pretty impressive. And Tony is definitely a popular guy at Comic-Con for obvious reasons, being that he worked on The Walking Dead and is also working on the new comic book with Brian Posehn, who's a very funny comedian and also a comic book nerd. I believe he's writing the new Deadpool, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Boy, the show just got super nerdy, didn't it? Anyway, it was fun to talk with Tony, and we'll just go on that note. On that note, co-creator, artist, Tony Moore. And let's go to a musical break here. This is, you've already heard a first part of this song. This is Girls and Uniforms by The Quiet Ones. And when we get back, we'll be talking with Tony Moore, co-creator of The Walking Dead. And fantastic artist. All right, stick around, everybody. Don't touch that iPod dial. Does that even make... That doesn't even make sense. I'm sick. You can't blame me. You can't blame me. All right, we'll be right back.
Here at Comic-Con 2013, Emerald City Comic-Con, with artist Tony Moore. You may know his work from The Walking Dead, right? And what else, Tony?
I've had some runs on Ghost Rider, Punisher, Venom, and now I'm working on Deadpool. And then I also
You're working on Deadpool right now?
Yeah, with Brian Posehn and Jerry Duggan.
Oh, shit, man.
And then I've got another creator-owned book at Dark Horse called Fear Agent. It's kind of a 50s sci-fi space western.
That's really cool. That's really cool. But you're probably most well known for your
probably
work with
The Walking Dead,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So what got you? Because you're very good at it, I must say.
Well, thank
if I can compliment you for a little bit.
I suppose I'll allow it.
What got you into zombies in the first place?
You know, I've always been a horror kid. You know, when I was really little, my grandmother would work second shift, and I'd wait up for her to come in, and so I was watching the late night creature feature, waiting for her to show up.
Yeah.
And my uncle was a big horror nut, and it just kind of, I don't know, it just festered in me, I guess, from the time I was a little kid.
I was obsessed with that magazine, Fangoria.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely obsessed.
Every once in a while, they'd publish, like, those 3D specials. And I'd break out the glasses. It was awesome.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. See, I always wanted, I never had, I always loved, like, the doing the miniatures and stuff like that, and the, you know, the special effects work, but I never had the artistic ability for it.
Yeah,
so, apparently, you did. So
yeah, I unfortunately, it seems that way. Yeah.
right. So how did you get into this whole world? I mean, how does one become an artist for comic books?
There's probably 1,000 different ways. I mean, I'd imagine each guy has their own story and. Only a few of them are alike, but I was always into comics since I was a kid, and when I was in arts, after high school I went to art school, and then after my freshman year, Kirkman asked me if I wanted to work on some comics. He had some ideas. We knew each other when we were kids, and he had just gotten a regular job after school, And so I said, yeah, let's do it. And so neither of us had a clue what we were doing. How blue can I get on this? I don't want to drop F-bombs.
Oh, yeah, you can swear. Yeah,
so, yeah, neither of us had any idea what we were doing. Yeah. And so we basically reverse engineered the whole process. And then over the course of a few years, we had some friends who had done it before us and, would show us the right way to do it. And then that just kind of, gained us a little more notice. We did a lot of conventions and stuff like that. And
so the first stuff that you guys were doing, it was all self-published then? Or?
Yeah.
Really? Is that kind of a scary thing? Because, I would imagine it takes a lot of, first of all, time.
Yeah.
Valuable time.
Yeah.
And a lot of money to put something like that out,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And I think it's what made us a good match, because I had the time and he had the money.
Oh, okay.
I was in art school. And I had plenty of time to draw books. And,
yeah, yeah.
I guess I didn't have, like, expendable time, but I made it. I made the time, I guess.
Yeah.
And, I learned how to build websites and all that type of stuff. And then, between the two of us, we managed to make it function. Kind of bit by bit, we did a lot of conventions and, gradually kind of built up some notice and got to know publishers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
It was really just kind of being in the right place at the right time, I think, with the Walking Dead stuff. And and then kind of the explosion, and here we are.
Right, right. Now, did that, I imagine that helped your career out.
It's opened some doors, for sure. Yeah, I think it's probably bought me some grace with editors and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
I'll take it. I need
it. Yeah, why not? Why not? Was that the thing that kind of got you involved with Posehn and Dugan?
I'd met those guys kind of the roundabout way.
Uh-huh.
So one of my first years out, we did San Diego, and the only other cartoonists that we knew that would be doing it were Rick Remender and Kieran Dwyer. They were working on like a smut rag satire magazine called Lowest Comic Denominator.
Uh-huh.
And I knew those guys, and I contributed a little bit to that magazine. And so we had them set us next to them at San Diego. And it was a miserable experience because they put us on the other side of like the pornography booths. And so people would come down to the end of the aisle and look on one side and see this like Star Wars anime parody called Star Balls. They'd see Star
Balls. That sounds awesome, by the way.
They'd see Star Balls on one side and then Eros Comics on the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And then look down to the end of the aisle and see, like, oh, there's only two booths down there, and I don't know what either of those guys are, so fuck it. And they turn around and leave.
Yeah.
So we basically just sat around with our thumbs in our asses the whole convention because nobody came down there to see us.
Yeah.
And so we commiserated a lot that weekend. And so Rick Remender and I became pretty good friends after that. And then we've worked a lot together since then. Most of my Marvel stuff was with him and Fear Agent. We co-created. And so through Rick, I met Brian and Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Because they're all LA guys or California guys. And,
yeah,
And so, yeah, we met. Rick drew The Last Christmas, which is an apocalyptic Santa Claus story.
You worked on that?
I did a cover for it.
Did you do the first issue?
No, I did maybe the last issue. Oh,
okay, because I have that first one. Yeah.
But Rick drew it. Before he was a writer, he was an artist.
Oh, okay.
And so he drew that, and Brian and Jerry wrote it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so we've all kind of, you know, intermingled.
Well, it seems like a pretty tight-knit community, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Is it for the most part?
You know, groups of friends tend to band together. You know, you get that band of brothers in the trenches.
Right.
You know, and yeah, you do get some tight bonds when you work together years, or when you at least are working, you know, in proximity to each other for years. You know, there's a kind of a respect, a professional respect for each other. You know, being in the same business, and then, you know, as friends, you know, you get really close.
Yeah. That's great, man. So what's it? We were talking the other night over at Kyle's house, like, about just the life of going to cons.
Yeah, it's something.
And it's, I mean, just walking around this thing for today, because, I mean, this is the biggest the Emerald City Comic Con has ever been.
Yeah.
It's basically the full convention center here in Seattle. And it's just enormous.
It's like twice as big as it was last
year.
You're
signing stuff all day.
Pretty much.
For 3 days straight.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of these things do you do a year?
I've done as many. I think that at my height, I did 16 or 18 of them in a year once.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to shoot myself in the face. but I'd say average 12-ish, maybe. Maybe a little
12-ish?
More. 12-ish? Yeah. That's still a lot.
Yeah, yeah. How much time between each one do you get off?
It depends because, you know,
it's like a couple months, right?
Well, there's like hot zones, you know.
Yeah,
so, like in the summer, you might have two in a month.
That's a lot, man.
It is a lot. It is a lot.
Yeah.
But,
And then to add insult to injury, you got guys coming up to you at the end of the thing. So, are we going to do this this interview? You going to talk to me?
Yeah, just jerks. and then I got to go home and make up for the time that I wasn't working.
Right.
And work double time and get over whatever fucking horrible disease I've caught from these people.
A lot of handshaking.
And
you keep hand sanitizer back
here? I do. I got a bucket of it back here. I just dunk.
Dip it.
Yeah.
Dip your hand.
I try my damnedest to not touch my eyes all day. but yeah, it's, you know, so yeah, you know, I got to work double time and try to, you know, like have family time and, you know, see my kid, like, you know, more than 5 minutes a day and all that type of good stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an undertaking, for sure.
Yeah. Well, hey man, it was awesome to meet you, and it's been great to get to know you.
Oh, dude, it's been great.
And thank you so much for taking a little time to talk with me, and congratulations on all your success.
Oh,
man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, have a great day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope you don't get too sick. This town refuses to speak below our shout. This town is losing my respect. Let's give her a good talking to. Let's put her ass in check. And human interest. That's what we're all about here on the Air Raid podcast. That was our chat with Tony Moore, co-creator of The Walking Dead, amongst many, many other things. So I hope you guys enjoyed the shit out of our Emerald City Comic Con 2013 coverage. We'll be back next year, man.
I love, like I said before, I love going to that thing. I just absolutely love it. I love the people. I love the art. By the way, great place to get cheap art, cheap one-off art. There's a lot of artists that line up and do their thing there, a lot of really great artists. And we've gotten a ton of stuff, a ton of great stuff that we've put up in our kiddos' room. Put up in our own house. That's worthy of going up on the wall. It's not all nerd stuff. It's not all nerd stuff, but most of ours is. I will say that most of the stuff that I buy is probably Star Wars associated, or something along those lines. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. So I hope you guys all go next year. Remember to get your tickets quick because they sell out fairly fast. Okay, well, that's it, guys. I'm going to go back to bed. Maybe I'll watch another 80s horror movie. I think that's in the cards tonight. That's definitely in the cards. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode 140 of the Air Raid Podcast. We'll be back next week with Michael Lerner and Eric Elbogen of the band Telekinesis. Very, very excited to talk with those guys. Man, it's going to be awesome, guys. Michael Lerner also plays with the Portlandia band, tours around with Kerry Brownstein and Fred Armisen of Portlandia, plays drums for them. Eric Elbogen, you may know. I don't even know if I'm saying his last name right. From Say Hi. So they'll both be in studio, in the dining room studios next week for episode 141. And we'll be doing the show next week from... we'll be doing the monologue and everything next week from Ocean Shores, celebrating the Easter weekend with family out on a cliff. So hopefully I won't die, and hopefully it will be nice and sunny, which probably will not happen because every time I go to the frickin' ocean, it's just raining. All right, guys, have a great week. Hey, remember, go to www.air-raid.net. Check out the archives page. You can check out episodes with Macklemore, John Roderick, David Bazan, Bob Saget, Eddie Pepitone, Kurt Brownoller, Pete Holmes, Dana Gould, Hari Kondabolu, Luke Burbank, Grand Archive. Okay, I'm going to stop. I need to go back to bed. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. This is the song, The Summer of Down and Out by The Quiet Ones. Check them out, thequietones.bandcamp.com. Please. All right. I love you guys. Thanks a lot. I hope I feel better next weekend. I hope I feel better. Have a good one.